Speaking of mamas, we want to welcome all the mamas that are here, here for Moms Weekend. We are so glad that you're here. So glad that you're allowing your children to come to this church. We so appreciate all you've done for them. Appreciate all that you put inside of them. You've done a great job raising them, and our heart is to keep those great values you've placed inside of them, keep them moving along, and continue to challenge them in the things and foundations you've laid for them. But we really, really thank you for coming, and thank you for allowing your children to come here as well. We pray that you're blessed and have a great time with your children together. We've been on a series here. This is our second one in the series. It's about the big questions. The big questions. And last week, our big question was, why do bad things happen to good people? It was ironic because last week, remember, we lost our slides and all that. This week, we lost everything. We're running on a little teeny laptop right now. That's why everything's lagging behind. That's why we only have one screen. That's why everything is going crazy. We don't have any of our normal stuff going today. So we're just doing an au naturel. Anyway, I thought, oh my goodness. We're living out the message. We talked about why do bad things happen to good people, money problems, sickness, death, tragedies, abuses, pain, suffering, disasters. I said, I have the answer, is that I don't know exactly. I really don't know, but we have some perspective. And that is that we live in a fallen world and that we have people that exercise a free will in a wrong way. We talked about how he takes the manure of life and uses it as fertilizer to grow something great. And we use the scripture in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. If you love God, number one, called according to his purpose, number two, God's going to take all the stuff that happens in your life and he's going to use it for something good because he has a plan and a purpose for you. You're not an accident just out there. You're a divine part of his workmanship and he has purpose for you. And we're going to talk more about that purpose this morning. My second question, why am I here? I'm here because I'm going to do a message this morning for you. That's why I'm here. It's interesting that if you to go into Google, the number one where question, I can only do 2014 stats, the number one where question on Google in 2014 is, where am I? Where am I? Questions that were asked Google were, what is life? What is reality? Interesting that you're two times more likely to search for who unfollowed me as to who called me. We're more worried about what we lost rather than what we're gaining. Also, some big ones were, what is life? Again, who am I? And to summarize these, I put them down, these questions that were searched on Google, one of their number one aspects of what was searched. Why am I here? Why anything? Why? What's my purpose? What's the meaning of life? Why am I here? Is it to make lots of money? Is it to make lots of money? Is it to have the greatest job in the world? Is it to accumulate lots and lots of stuff because he who gathers the most toys in the end wins? Is it to consume everything that you make and everything that you have on yourself so you've got just a great life? Life is short, so grab all the gusto that you can. Is that why you're here? Or is it to seek out adrenaline highs, adrenaline rushes? Is it to jump off cliffs with nothing on but one of those little flying suits and fly down and pull a chute at the end and see how close you can come to death? Or is it to have a great education? Isn't that why you're here at WSU, University of Idaho, to get a great education? You're here for a great education? They got great education here. What is it to have lots of children? Maybe that's what we're here for. The McManuses think that. Just teasing. They have 12, and even dozen. I said you should go for a baker's dozen, and I think they're thinking about it. No, they're not thinking about it. No, you're not thinking about a baker's dozen. Okay, great. We're stopping. Maybe it's to become popular. To become important, maybe to have fun. Now I look at all those things and hey, they're not necessarily bad, any things that are inside of there, but it's not why you're here. It's not the purpose that you're on this planet. It's not the purpose you're taking another ride around the sun. It's not the reason that you're here. And until we find that reason, we will be frustrated about life. If you look at a lot of people in life, you see a lot of frustrated people. They have a lot of stuff. They've made it. They're important. They're popular. They're having fun. They've made lots of money. They've done lots of stuff. And yet, they're not satisfied with life, and life is frustrating for them. Such cases so frustrating that they take their own lives because they're not enjoying life. They don't want it. Why am I here? Until we find out why we're here, we will be frustrated as we live on this planet. Have you ever had a bad day and ask yourself, why am I here? Why is this happening to me? It's interesting, one of the other searches that was done a lot was, what in the world is God doing, was another title of a search. I think about a bad day, and Tommy, we were in Illustrators, and he comes up with this poster about mistakes. Mistakes! I don't know if you can read this. Beautiful, there's a boat sinking, and the beautiful sunset behind. Mistakes. It could be that the purpose of your life is only to serve as a warning to others. I don't think that's good. He went through a bunch of these. I didn't have the other one up here. He had a fork all mangled up, a bunch of good forks and one mangled fork, and says, just because you're unique doesn't mean, what was it, Tommy? Where are you? Doesn't mean that you're useful. I thought, those are things that just bless you when you get up in the morning to read quotes like that. Yeah, go to the app, Living Faith Fellowship app. It has much better stuff on there than that. Absolutely. I thought this. I don't know if any of you saw this. I hope we can get it. I don't know if they can do the video. Can you guys do the video? Hopefully it might lag behind a little bit because, again, we're running on an iPhone.
It's no fun to show you. I think anyone who's played golf, certainly the amateurs, we've all been there, but you just don't expect to see what happened to Ernie Els.
The Masters is going
on
right now.
Of his magnitude, his caliber,
this is day
I should
one.
Say. This is the first hole for bogey, all right? So it's a par four. That's his fifth. Okay.
He's a professional golfer.
That's six. That's seven.
Looks like Tommy and me up there golfing.
And at this point in time, there's all kinds of weird things going through your brain.
What do you do?
Well, you're trying to stop what's
so you
happening.
Nail it on this one.
You know, what's happening?
And gather yourself.
Can I go back and start over again?
It's the first hole of the Masters.
He missed
and
that!
And then he misses that. And he makes a sextuple bogey 10.
A sextuple bogey 10.
That's the highest
10.
Score that's ever been recorded in the history of the first hole.
What are you known for? I have the highest recorded score. Now, that's a bad day. I'm sure Ernie was going, why am I here? As a matter of fact, he got cut, so he's not there anymore. He didn't make the cut, of course. I don't know how you could. That's quite a few strokes to give away on one hole. We kind of wonder, has your day ever been like that sometime, though? Why am I here? You ever feel frustrated about life? What is the purpose for me being here? We're going to read from Revelation 4:11, our key text this morning. If you wouldn't mind standing, let's read it together. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11. You may be seated. Therein lies the answer to the question we just asked, why am I here? But let me give some background on this scripture in Revelation chapter 4. We know that Revelation is not the revelation of John, it's the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ is unfolded. That word revelation is the apocalypse. It means the disclosure, the unveiling, comes to knowledge. We begin to understand. And in Revelation, it's talking about what's happening in heaven. John is standing before an open door in heaven, and he's bid to come up. And he hears this voice. He says, "Come up, and I'll show you what will take place." And he goes up, and he's in the spirit, and he sees the throne of God in heaven, and one seated on the throne. He sees God on the throne in heaven, and his appearance is like jasper. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. We see all of this color, all of this glory, all of this amazing things that are happening there. Around the throne were 24 elders. There's these lesser thrones, 24 thrones, lesser thrones, and seated on these thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments. They had these golden crowns. Some think that because they received their reward, and this was their reward, and we find out later they're going to cast that crown before the Lord. And we see from the throne room flashes of lightning and rumble. And peals of thunder. We see these noises and sounds and color. And ever been in a rainstorm and all of a sudden it comes upon you and it's really close and you hear the, you see the lightning and you hear the, and it's so, it sounds so loud, it's almost deafening. It's almost frightening in the sense of how close it feels and how majestic it is. And here he is looking at heaven and it's full of color. He's on this, clear crystal area, and when I look at crystal, it's like a prism. It's refracting light, and all of a sudden, all the colors of a prism are coming out in it. All the oranges and the yellows and greens and blues and violets. All of this color, all of this noise, all of this splendor is happening in heaven. Heaven is an active space with lots going on, lots of beauty, lots of action. And around the throne, there's these four living creatures, and it says that they, one like an ox, one like a man, one like an eagle, and the fourth, they had six wings and eyes all around them. And it says, and day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is the first of 14 doxologies in the book of Revelation. 14 doxology. A doxology is a hymn that's praising God for who he is. We're going to see 14 of them here, and this is the first one. And they don't stop saying it. And day and night, they never cease to say. Day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And at that, we have these 24 elders that fall down and begin to praise and give glory to God. When they see these living creatures saying all that they're saying, these 24 elders begin to worship the one who is on the throne. And they say the second doxology, and that's the Revelation 4:11. As they fall down, cast their crowns before him, they begin to say this: Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy, say it with me, pleasure, as your translations will say, will, for thy pleasure they are and were created. It's a lot of praising, a lot of worship of God happening in heaven. If you don't like worship, heaven will be hell for you. It is going to be amazing as we worship the Lord, as we worship the King of all kings. This verse is not just a cool doxology, but it's the answer to our question, why am I here? Why am I here? What am I here for? It says, I'm here for God's pleasure. Amen. You're here for God's pleasure. You're not here for God's judgment. You're not here to just do all of this stuff. You're not here just to do your own stuff. You're here because God loves you, he delights in you, and he wants to take pleasure from you. I can only think about being I exist at the pleasure of the King for the pleasure of the King. And I thought about being a parent. When you're a parent, what brings you pleasure about your kids? When you see them just behaving well, having manners, saying yes, please, thank you, not fighting with their siblings in the back seat, shut up back there. You ever driven like that with one hand behind and one hand in front? I know you, if you're a parent, you've driven like that before. Shut up back there. Don't make me stop this car. when all of a sudden they're just getting along and they're making right choices. I take my grandkids to McDonald's and let them play, and they're running around and just seeing them have fun, enjoying life, brings pleasure to me. Making right choices, doing good things. And I think in the same way God's going, hey, I've got a plan and purpose for you. And when I see you enjoying life the way that I designed you to enjoy it, that brings me pleasure. That brings me pleasure. The word pleasure, interesting word. Telema is the Greek word. And it means determination, choice, purpose. His pleasure has a purpose to it. It speaks about a decree or a volition or an inclination. We were created at God's choice by His free volition for His purpose. And here's my answer. You are here to give God glory and honor and power. And you do that by fulfilling the purpose or calling that He has for your life. As you fulfill the calling or purpose God has for your life, you give Him glory and honor and power, and the result is He takes pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in you. When we're doing what He's called us to do, what He's designed us to do, we find fulfillment when the object of creation fulfills the purpose of the Creator. We're the object of creation, fulfilling the objective of the Creator. I think about doing a job. I've been working on a remodel. I just fell off a ladder last night, so my back's a little sore. When you think about, that isn't God's fault, that's my fault. I was wondering, why do bad things happen to good people? But anyway, then God said to me, who says you're good? And then I said, well, who says this is bad? So we had a little fun there, exchanging words. But anyway, when you have something, this happened. I was actually there trying to hammer in a nail, and I had forgotten my hammer, so I didn't have my hammer. So instead of my hammer, I had a little crowbar, so I was trying to beat it with this thing, hit it, and then, you know, trying to, you know, it's much better when you take that which was designed. Whoops. It's always exciting when you're doing according to what you were designed for. I was trying to beat the nail. Okay, now there's a lot of things you can use you can do a lot of things. You can hit it. As a matter of fact, I used that last night too to pound in a nail. You don't want to miss because it goes right down that's not a good one. Then I thought, you know, instead of using nails, why don't we use screws? Let me see. Oops, give me a screw here. And then, you know, something about screws. Just. Yeah. Oh. I mean, have you ever gone to Home Depot? Home Depot? In a Home Depot, they have the spot where you just drive nails in. I go there and I drive hundreds of nails just right in there because I enjoy that feeling. This is Curtis's. I borrowed it. Curtis, I'll buy another one. There's just something about fulfilling your destiny, fulfilling your purpose, doing what you're created, when all of a sudden it all comes together, when you have the right tool for the right job and you're able to use that tool on that job, you're so thankful you bought that. Ladies, that's why us guys have so many tools. We need them. Sometimes we need more than one of the same tool. It's like, why do you have so many different purses? I'm not trying to get into it here. I know because you have so many different shoes. I understand the reason why. I know why. I'm just simply saying, guys, you know, we have so many different jobs. So that's why we need so many different tools. Anyway, I don't want emails. I'm just saying there's something about being and fulfilling and doing what you were created to do that brings great fulfillment to your life. And if not, if you're not doing what you're created to do, there's frustration. A lot of people feel frustrated in life. And the reason they feel frustrated, many out in the world, many also in the church, are we understanding what we were created for? When we hit the right tool with the right job, it's so fulfilling, and that's how God feels when we fulfill His purpose, what He designed you for. You know, He didn't design you for sin. And when we follow sin, it doesn't bring fulfillment to our life. He designed you to be like Him, righteous and holy. Be holy, because I'm holy. I'm your image. I am what you're to be like. And we find fulfillment when we be like Him. As you fulfill the purposes of God, which gives Him glory, it also brings fulfillment to your life. You feel complete. I feel whole. God is purposeful. He created you for a purpose. You're not created by accident. But I was an oops child. I don't care. We don't have an oops God, all right? I'm an oops child created by an awesome, almighty God who has purpose and destiny for your life. Purpose. God does things purposefully. When we find our purpose that He has assigned us, we find our reason why to live for the glory of God. Purpose. Purpose is meant to drive us. Purpose is meant what God said in 4:11, hey, I want you to do this for my pleasure, for my purpose, for my destiny. I wrote this other thing about purpose. Purpose is to live as a follower of Jesus and follow His words. One of the purposes, live as a follower of Jesus and follow His words. Follow His words. Why are we into the Bible this year? We're into it every year, but I'm saying over and over again, get the app. It's really easy. It'll read to you while you're putting on your makeup. It's absolutely incredible. There's no reason for us not to get through the New Testament this year, any of us, because we have an app. It's going to be easy. Get your Bible out. We need the Word of God to be a follower of Jesus. We have to follow what He said to do. It's interesting that in Westminster Shorter Catechism, written in 1647, these theologians got together and they started debating and talking about the issues of Christianity. And they asked and answered 107 questions. Put this theological treatise together. 107 questions they asked, then they answered right after it. First question asked and answered was this: what is the chief end of man? In other words, why are we here? The answer: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To enjoy Him forever. To enjoy Him forever. We get to live for the glory of God, not for ourselves, and enjoy God forever in heaven. Can you imagine if your boss came to you and said, hey, dude, I got some, these your job responsibilities. I need you to do this, this, and this, and then I need you to do, this is really important, I need you to enjoy me as your boss. I need you to have a great relationship. We need to have a great relationship. I want you to enjoy me. And I'm going to make life enjoyable for you. I'm going to make it really wonderful, really. You'd be going like, what? Part of my job description is just to enjoy my boss? Yeah, I'm going to come in. We'll talk about things. I'll bring in Danish. We'll chat. Then we'll work and we'll chat. We'll work. I'm just saying, can you imagine your boss if he said your job description was simply enjoy me? God is saying, here's what I want you to do. Here's what we do. I want you to glorify me. Got some things for you to do. Follow me and all that. And then, okay, this other one is really important. It's really important to me. It's vital. I need you to enjoy me. Not just now. I need you to enjoy me for a long time. I want you to enjoy me forever. And you know what? That's not a hard task. Because he's the most amazing individual in the world. He has done so much for us. And he says, enjoy me. Just don't get frustrated by me. When you're doing things wrong, understand, hey, get out the drill, dude. Start doing what you're created to do and enjoy the life I've given you. Enjoy the plan and purpose and destiny that I have for you. God completes us. Remember the Jerry Maguire when he comes in and he talks to her and blah, 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 and he says, you complete me. God completes us. We fill a void without him. Life is empty without him. Case in point, all the people that are taking their lives who don't know Jesus Christ think that life is empty even though they have everything. They're so full and yet empty at the same time. And yet as a Christian, you could have nothing, be so empty, yet be so full at the same time. Fullness is what we're after. To be full of Jesus Christ, to be full of his Spirit, to be full of his presence, to enjoy him forever. What a deal. Okay, just a second. Wait a second. I have to give up my life and all the stuff I want to do and enjoy you forever in all the splendor and glory and heaven and all the stuff you want to give me? Let me think about it. What's to think? What's to think? My second life verse is found in, it's found in Psalm 17, 11. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I'm enjoying you so much. Being around you so much, eating so much Danish with you, Daniel approved Danish. If there is such a thing, made from, what do they call that? Almond flour and gluten free and dairy free and put lots of honey on it. That's what I found out. I eat a lot of honey while I've been doing this Daniel plan. It's sweet, it tastes great. And it's Daniel plan approved! All right. I have lost 5 pounds, though, in 1 week, so I'm just letting you know. I'm going on a conference, I'll probably gain them all back here. But anyway, satisfied. I'll be satisfied when I wake in your likeness. The word satisfied is to sate, S-A-T-E, to fill, to satisfaction. The word sate, where we get satiated, sate, it means to satisfy a desire or an appetite to the full. Supply someone with as much, here's the definition, supply someone with as much as or more of something than is desired or can be managed. God satisfies us. He throws out more love on us than we can possibly manage. I can't manage all of the love that God pours out on me because I can't understand all of the love that he pours out upon me. That he still loves me in spite of myself, in spite of the stupid decisions I've made throughout my life, in spite of getting on that ladder. I got on the ladder, climbed up to the top of the ladder, and then I had to get into this loft, and it was higher than where I was at, so I had to jump off the ladder up into this loft. It's kind of a loft area. So I got ready and I go, but there's some lights and stuff, they're breakable. So I wanted to land softly. So I go, whoop, I jump all the way up, get my one little cheek right there on the thing, and I go, all right, I'm there. Oh, and I just went back, scraped my arm all the way down, hang like that. My derriere hit the ladder where the paint thing goes. I think it was about broke the ladder, and it broke my derriere and landed on the ground there. And but I wasn't going to give up. No. There's something about the man who sees danger and keeps going in the scripture. Anyway, so I got back up there again. I go, I can do this because I'm an athlete. Yeah, a century ago. So I get there and I go, all right. So I get back on the thing again, turn the ladder a little bit more. And this time I'm going all the way, man. So I jump, whoa, got all the way up there, bam, I'm here. Did all the stuff up there, had to mud some stuff up there, did electrical outlet over here, doing all that stuff, get all done. And then I turn around, look back, and I go, how am I going to get down? Because my leg doesn't, I can't even reach the ladder, and it's, then I thought, hey, I'm an athlete. Cat-like reflexes. Cat always lands on its feet. I will too. So I'm sort of thinking, I'm just going to jump. I'm going to get there. I'm going to jump. I'm just going to jump. I'm just, all right, one, two, going to jump. I'm an athlete. I'm going to jump. I started thinking, I'm going to a conference. That'll be fun going there with a broken leg. I could break my leg. I could do something stupid. I could do something foolish. You got to remember, I'm up in this attic part and I'm pouring down sweat. I'm just dripping off of me. So finally I go, you know, I'm not going to do this. So I call up Joe and Dan Fitzgerald and say, hey, can you guys bring me my extension ladder that's over at such and such and bring it here and hurry because I'm sweating to death because I literally. So Dan comes in, gives me the ladder. I get down and that's the end of the story. So I felt like it was a victory. I didn't jump. I normally would have jumped. But one of the problems was where I was going to jump, I threw some of my tools down, and I threw my saw down there. And it landed on the thing with the point sticking up. It was a sheetrock saw, and I go, that's right where I'm going to land. I go, I'll probably miss it. Just like a tree is empty space when you're golfing. Most of it's empty, but it seems to always hit it. Anyway, I'm sorry. We got sidetracked here. We're created for purpose. Yes. And when we fulfill that purpose to give glory to God by our living, by our choices, by what we do, as we enjoy his love and what he satiates upon us, we become satisfied. We become happy campers, not knowing the answer to every puzzle and riddle that's out there and why things are happening, but trusting in a God who's in charge of all the happenings. And we just trust him. And we believe in him. And when stuff happens, we go, you know, I'm just thankful I got a God I get to enjoy forever. Yeah. We're not looking at, okay, listen, for all the stupid things you've done, you're going to look forward to judgment for a long, long time. No. You're going to look for freedom, for enjoyment, to enjoy God in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Here's my observation. I will be satisfied, filled, when I am just like Jesus, fulfilling my purpose. It says here, I'll be satisfied when I awaken his likeness. I'll be satisfied when I'm just like Jesus. When what would Jesus do is exactly what I did. No longer is it a bracelet on somebody's arm, but it's a lifestyle that we live. What would Jesus do? No, I know what he would do. I'm living it. That's what we need to be as Christ followers. I'm not there. I'm not saying that. But here's a point I do want to make. Being satisfied is when a Christ follower is actually following Christ. I think, yeah, let's give the Lord a hand on that. Being satisfied is when a Christ follower is actually following Christ, because not all Christ followers are following Christ. They're following some of their own ideals and some of their own thoughts in the process. Now, he's working on all of us. We're all a mixture here. But the more we follow what he says, the more we're going to be satisfied. I think sometimes Jesus asks, who unfollowed me? I notice you haven't been checking in on my blog. Who unfollowed me? It's not only what we are concerned about as humans. It's what God's concerned about his creation. Who unfollowed me? I've unfollowed him in a lot of areas of my life. I want to do my best to follow him in every area of my life so I can be satisfied, so I can fulfill the purpose that God made me to give him glory, to enjoy him, to give him pleasure. Conclusion. In Philippians 2:13, there's a key to us as we're trying to do this. There's a key to this. As we're trying to please him, give him pleasure, give him glory, give him honor, fulfill our purpose, our destiny. Philippians 2:13, powerful scripture. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In the process of trying to bring God pleasure, giving him glory, fulfilling his purpose in your life, it's God who helps us. And he helps us in two important ways. He gives us the will or desire to do what he asked. When all of a sudden you want to do, and he changes your mind, and you want to do it, and you get your mindset, yeah, I'm going to do it. That's half the battle. Yeah, I'm going to work out. You finally come to the conclusion you're going to do that, and all of a sudden, it starts changing things. He gives us the will or the desire to do what he asks. Amen. I want you to do this, this, and this, Bill. Oh, it seems hard. And all of a sudden, I spend time with him, and he goes, you know, it's not, that's going to be really good. That's going to be, I want to do that. I want to speak right. I want to be honest. I don't want to look at that picture. I don't want to look at this show. I want to be there. Secondly, he gives us the ability to do, the anointing, to do what he has asked us. He gives us the desire, and then he gives us the ability to do what he's asked you to do, to fulfill your purpose. You're not doing it on your own strength, in your own way. You're allowing God to give it to you. God asks us to do his purpose, and then he gives us the will, the desire, and the ability to do so. God, you're just simply amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have a plan and purpose and destiny for our life. It's to give you glory and honor and praise. And it's to give you pleasure, to fulfill your purposes. Lord, help us. Lord, if we're kind of in a bad spot, as we pray to you, Lord, change my thinking, change my mind, change my desires. I believe you will. If you're struggling with a desire, an issue or something, ask God to change those, because he said he would right here in Philippians 2:13. He said he would. He said he would change our desires. This desire for something I shouldn't want. Lord, change my desire for it to be what you want. And then, Lord, we look for the anointing. the ability to do what you've asked us to do. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for all the moms that are here. I pray that their times with their children would be sweet, that they would just make awesome memories that will last a lifetime. Our children are so precious to us. I pray that those relationships would always be pure, awesome, wonderful, adventuresome, delightful. Bless these moms and how they've raised us and developed us, grown us up, nurtured us. We thank you for them, Lord. I look back, and I can't say that to mine anymore. But Lord, I'm so thankful that I had a great mom. Bless these moms now and bless us, Lord, as we desire to fulfill your purposes this week. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you don't know Jesus, come on up here. We want to pray for you to receive Christ. If you need prayer for anything else, come on up here. We'll pray for you. Remember, we're going to be talking about another topic next week. Email me, phil@livingfaithfellowship.com. If you have any questions that you want to get answered, we will make sure we answer them. God bless you. You guys are all dismissed. Have a great day.